This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. Now, when you think about getting close to God, what do you think about? Well, you may think about studying your Bible. That definitely can help you. You may think about observing God's law, about keeping the Sabbath, keeping God's holy days, about fasting. That's a great spiritual exercise that can help you start to think about spiritual matters rather than physical matters. Some could bring up meditation, you know, dwelling upon the law of God, thinking thoughts that relate to God and His Word. That can help you. Fellowship can help you get close to God. Having encouragement from like-minded believers. These are all things that can assist you in staying close to God. And there's probably one that you're thinking about that I haven't mentioned yet, and that's going to be the focus of our program today, and that's prayer. Of course, prayer is communicating with God, letting God know what's going on with you, and hopefully God will respond to you. Now, when you think about prayer, prayer goes hand in hand with faith. Prayer goes hand in hand with being faithful to the work of prayer. But I want you to think today about prayer from this standpoint. I once was getting on my knees before going to bed, and I wanted to pray. And I, as my custom is, I pray before going to sleep. I pray when I get up in the morning. I pray before meals. And I was very tired on this particular evening, and I remembered I actually fell asleep while praying. Now, I jolted upright after falling asleep. My head kind of laid on the side of my bed, and I realized that I fell asleep while I was praying. I fell asleep while I was trying to communicate with God, and I didn't think that was a good way to communicate with God. There was no intentionality. There was no focus or purpose there in trying to pray to God and trying to communicate with God. Does that matter? Does it matter if our prayers are more focused and intentional than if they are not? That's the question I want to look at today. I want to delve into that. I want to look at the Bible, and does it say anything about having focus and intention in prayer? And we're also going to look at what science has learned recently in the last 10 years about how the brain works. Now, you might be saying, why the brain? Well, where do you pray? Your spirit, your mind, your consciousness prays, correct? And what does that have to do with? It has a lot to do with your brain. It's an amazing thing, our brain. We don't completely understand it, but I believe it taps into the spiritual element within man and God's Spirit also. So we want to investigate whether we need to focus and be intentional in prayer and what that can help in our prayer life. Before we do any of that, though, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you some free CDs on today's program. The CDs that I want to offer you have to do with the subject of prayer. I want to offer you a CD titled Focused Prayer, and this will expand upon many of the elements I will be discussing today. You need to get that CD to really understand what we're going to be talking about today. Another CD that I'd like you to get is titled Prayer, A Faith-Building Experience. You've got to have faith in prayer, and Mr. Bill Watson will address that subject on this particular CD, Prayer, A Faith-Building Experience. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8840. 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website. That's www.cgi.org. Again, www.cgi.org. Also go to our website to view a live sermon broadcast each week. Go to www.cgi.org. Thanks for joining us again on today's program. We're looking at focused prayer in particular. And the reason we're doing that is we were talking at the beginning of today's show, if you're just joining us, about ways you can get closer to God. We mentioned fasting. We mentioned meditation. We mentioned fellowship. We talked about Bible study, learning about God's Word, learning about God's law, His Sabbath, and His holy days. All of these things can help you get closer to God. But what we're looking at today specifically is prayer, and even more specifically, focused prayer. We want to be intentional in our prayer. We want to be focused when we pray. And does Scripture show us that that will have an effect on our prayer? Well, let's see what Scripture has to say. And in the second half of today's program, we're going to look at what science is learning about the brain and how this may play a part in our prayer life. First things first, though, I'd like you, if you have your Bibles handy, to turn over to Psalm 66 and verse 18, because we need to understand what does the Bible say about prayer that we need to keep in mind. In Psalm 66, 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, when we pray, we communicate with God, and we believe that the writer of this psalm may have been David, a man after God's own heart. And he says here, if I've got iniquity in my heart, if I'm morally impure, God's not going to hear me. So we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds when we think about prayer. Another thing we need to keep in mind when we think about prayer is found over in James chapter 4 and verse 3. So if we turn in our New Testaments to James chapter 4 and verse 3, notice what this tells us about prayer. "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." Folks, you just can't pray for anything. You've got to pray for things that are for in the will of God. If you aren't praying for things in the will of God, God is not going to answer those prayers. And whether or not He answers or not, if you aren't morally pure, if you aren't looking for what God's will may be, you aren't going to have any connection with God. Another thing to keep in mind is in prayer is who are we praying to? Now, some of you who are watching this program today might not be Christians, and that's okay. We want you to watch this program. But I am not going to be politically correct today. I'm going to give you the Christian perspective. Actually, I'm not going to be politically correct in many circumstances when it comes to the Bible, because there are times you will see when you read the Bible, it goes against what society tries to dictate to us. In John chapter 16 and verse 23, it says, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Folks, we've got to be praying to the right God. Other religions are not as vehement about this as the Christian religion. Many other religions don't say there's only one way to God. Christianity does say that. And we need to look at what it's saying and compare that to what we believe in these other religions and see how that all stacks up in our mind. But having done this little preamble about prayer, I now want to get to the focus of the program, which is along with those things that we need to keep in mind with prayer, do we need to have a focus and intentionality in our prayer? Well, I believe that we do. And to point that out, I want to go to a couple scriptures, and then we'll begin to look at what science tells us about the brain in relation to all of this. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, I'd like you to see that the context here is prayer. Notice Luke 11 verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now notice verse 5. The context of what he's about to address has to do with prayer, because that's what we just read about. Notice what he says in verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, he's relating this to prayer, and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because of he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or perseverance or boldness or chutzpah, however you could also understand that word importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. What's he saying here? He's saying, hey, because of the perseverance of this person, this guy answered him. So does perseverance, focus, intentionality possibly have something to do with prayer? I believe that's bearing out in this scripture. But let's look at some other scriptures on this. Notice in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And I'm going to pick it up there in Daniel 6 in verse 10. It says in Daniel 6:10, Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now Daniel's giving you the example here of praying 3 times a day. I pray 3 times a day at least. I pray before each meal. I pray in the morning. I pray in the evening. And during the day, there are times I'm praying in my mind. Daniel is showing a discipline here. He's showing an intentionality here of being disciplined or faithful in prayer and doing it on a regular basis. We also see this occurring over in Psalm 55:17. And here again, it's possibly David writing this psalm. David, a man after God's own heart. And in Psalm 55:17, it says, Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now again, we mentioned earlier that faith is important in prayer. And when you think about faith, faith is a confidence or trust in someone, something, or some belief. But along with that word faith, the word faithful is important in prayer. And a definition for faithful is strict or thorough in the performance of a duty. Get that, strict or thorough in the performance of a duty. We see the example of Daniel, the example of David, being faithful in their prayer lives, focused, intentional, in their prayer lives, and these were huge figures in the Bible, individuals God was working with. I think we should align with them and do the same in our prayer life. Now, if you still doubt me about the focus and intentionality you need to have in prayer, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 and get a load of this. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Man, what is he saying here? Now, I don't believe we have to be on our knees 24/7, but he's saying when you're praying, when you're Bible studying, when you're fellowshipping, what are you doing? You're gearing your mind towards God and His way. So praying without ceasing is having God in the forefront of your mind. That's having a focus and an intentionality on the ways of the God of the Bible. It's without a doubt that the Bible is talking to us about getting focused and intentional in our prayer, along with all those other things we addressed. But the purpose of our conversation today is on focus and intentionality. And I want to switch gears right now, and I want to begin to look at brain research that has been conducted over the last 10 years. Because where are you praying? You're praying with your brain, your mind, your consciousness, your spirit, however you want to think of it. It's right up here. Whatever that is, and believe me, we can't understand all the mysteries of the brain, but it's pretty amazing. And I want to get you into knowing about some of the research that's going on with the brain today. Ladies and gentlemen, your brain is communicating with itself, understanding what it sees in the world through lots and lots of neurons that are in your brain. Those neurons are communicating through electrochemical signaling that's driven by the movement of ions. What are ions? They are atoms. They are groups of atoms. They are molecules. And they go through these infinitesimally small channels within your brain. And they are connecting with each other and making sense of what you see and what you do. It's electrochemical. It is a quantum environment within your brain. Now, what do I mean by quantum environment? We need to understand that before we go any further. When I say a quantum environment, I'm talking about the microscopic, minuscule level of matter. The photons, the ions, the molecules, the things we can't see, the quarks, the bosons, the things that actually make up matter, ladies and gentlemen. These things are amazing when you begin to look into that quantum world. Because when we look at the macro world around us, there are certain laws of physics extant. We call them the Newtonian laws of physics. Like gravity, when an apple falls from a tree, it's going to hit the ground. But get this, folks. If you were able to miniaturize yourself into that quantum environment, the laws of Newtonian physics are not applicable anymore. What you have there are the laws of quantum physics. And the laws of quantum physics, ladies and gentlemen, are much different than the laws of Newtonian physics. Read up on this if it's of interest to you. Get that CD I talked about earlier. Now, I've established that the quantum environment is much different than the macro world we see around us. And within this quantum environment, one of the laws in this quantum environment is called the quantum Zeno effect, or the QZE if you're a neuroscientist. Now, what's this quantum Zeno effect? Well, it's similar to what the observer effect is in quantum physics. And the observer effect basically tells us that the position of any atom-sized entity appears to change when that entity is observed. In other words, what am I saying here? Well, let me say a little more about this. When you observe something in the quantum environment, folks, the observation of whatever you're observing can alter that bit of matter. Now think about that for a moment. That doesn't happen in the macro world, does it? Maybe in science fiction books it does. But in the quantum world, that's a law, the quantum Zeno effect. Now a little bit more about this. When you observe something in a rapid, repetitive fashion, the change that you can bring about on that is to a greater extent. Now that's interesting when I start to think about it. Let me try to explain this for you a little bit better. They did an experiment on beryllium, which is a metallic element. And again, it was on a beryllium atom, so something in that quantum world. And what they were trying to do, they were trying to see how quickly the beryllium atom would break down from a high energy state to a low energy state. And what they did was they measured the beryllium over time, and they were able to get a baseline as to how much they thought beryllium was decreasing from high energy to low energy. Now, they then did a next experiment where they measured it more often. And what they found was there was a decrease in the change of the beryllium atom because of an increase in the observation of it. And they did it again, and they measured it more times within the same period of time. And again, the beryllium went from a high state to a low state in a slower fashion than before. Now, this is incredible when you think about it. The fact that they were observing it and measuring it was slowing down the rate of change of the beryllium atom. Now, how does that relate to what I'm talking about? How does that relate to prayer? Well, there was a paper that was written in 2005, and it was published by, get this name, the Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society. This is a United Kingdom journal of some sort by a bunch of neuroscientists. And this is what they said. They linked the quantum Zeno effect to what happens when close attention or focus is paid to a mental experience. What are they saying? What do they mean by mental experience? They're talking about your brain function. They're talking about what you focus on, what you think about. That when you pay close attention or focus to something, ladies and gentlemen, you may have the ability to alter how your brain relates to that something. Now, let me go further and explain this a little bit more. The QZE, the quantum Zeno effect, states that the attention you place on something stabilizes the associated brain circuits. What does that mean? Concentrating or focusing attention on your mental experience maintains the brain state arising in association with that experience. Now think about prayer, because some of you may be thinking about, well, if I'm an engineer and I'm always reading about engineering and I'm always doing engineering, but also think about prayer in relation to this. Over time, paying enough attention to any specific brain connection keeps the relevant circuitry open and dynamically alive. These circuits can eventually become stable physical changes in your brain. What does that mean? It means this. You can hardwire your brain to think a certain way based upon the amount of attention and focus you put onto your mental activity. Go back to what I said at the beginning of the program. I talked about fasting, prayer, reading your Bible. I talked about meditating. I talked about following God's law. If you're doing that on a consistent basis, folks, you begin to hardwire yourself, especially if you're connecting to God's Spirit after repentance and baptism. And the Bible talks about God gives us His Spirit when we come to Him in repentance and get baptized. There's a connection, I believe, in our spiritual self to this quantum environment we are studying and learning about. What is it? I don't know exactly. I don't know what spirit is completely. But the Bible gives us inklings into it. The Bible talks about God's Spirit connecting with your mind, with your consciousness, and working together with your spirit. When you start to think about the possible implications here, it's incredible when you think about the miraculous or miracles or healings or things of that nature. It's stupendous what science is beginning to learn about the brain and what part that may play in how connected we are with God. Now, a lot of this is speculative in nature, of course. But when you start to read scriptures in the Bible that talk about God's Spirit, about the Spirit of man, the implications open up a number of possibilities. Now, When we go back to what the scientists say, they also say that people who practice a specialty every day literally think differently than people who don't practice that same specialty. In other words, engineers think a little bit differently than salesmen, and pharmacists think a little bit differently than nurses. But they all think differently because where is their attention and focus placed? When you get into a meeting at work and you have your HR people there, and you have your salespeople there, and you have your engineers there, you notice there's some disagreements in those meetings. Why is that? Because these people see the world a little bit differently based upon the attention and focus they have for how they see the world and what's going on in their brain all day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get that CD because I go much further into that CD on possible ramifications, speculation when we look at Scripture along with what science is discovering about the brain and how it may relate to prayer and things of that nature. Get that CD, Focused Prayer. We also want you to get the other CD by Bill Watson titled Prayer, A Faith-Building Experience. You can get both of these CDs free of charge. All you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791, or you can visit our website, www.cgi.org. As we begin to conclude today's program, I just want to give you a little data that hopefully will whet your appetite for what we get into in that CD. If you turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, notice what it says there. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Folks, if you've got the Spirit of God in you, connecting to your spirit, what are the possible ramifications of that? What are those ramifications as we begin to understand more about consciousness, more about the brain? It's incredible when you begin to delve into the great creation that God has created. Please join us again on another edition of the Armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God so you can stand in that evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. Or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.